Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and you're very welcome back again to Cork Matters. My guest on this evening's show is a face from the past. One simple hint. He highlighted what was known as the Rip-Off Republic. I'll be back to you after this short break.
Your beauty is our duty at Susan Ryan Beauty Salon Clinic, 85 South Main Street, Cork City. Sponsors of this episode of All That Matters.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My guest this evening is Mr. Eddie Hobbs. He's a Corkman, but he's extradited himself to County Kildare. So, Eddie, how are you getting on?
I'm great, thanks very much, Eugene. How are you?
Not too bad at all, Eddie. Eddie, before you go any further, oh, geez, your internet connection is unstable, right? Now, before you go any further, Eddie, just tell us a little bit about your life growing up in Cork. And actually, what part of Cork did you grow up in?
Ready? I grew up in the Lough in Cork. Born in 1962. I think we're about seventh generation Hobbses on the paternal side that came over as dissenters from the post-Cromwellian period. From England someplace, and the maternal line then is from Kerry. My mother's O'Sullivan, claims lineage back to O'Sullivan Bear, but the O'Sullivans were part of the engineering around the cable.
One, yeah.
Came this direction to a radio school in the Mardyke, and one of his ads, he was actually advertising for students on the week of the Easter Rebellion. We have that in the in the family archive. So so there's a long tradition going back. My great grand uncle then, Captain Tim Hobbs, you know, he's buried right between McCurtain on one side and McSweeney on the other. He's the grave in between. So he was very active at the time in the Battle for Independence in Cork, and was on the he was on the anti-treaty side, obviously. He was arrested and held in Cork prison for a while afterwards and died in 1924 from his wounds. And then on my other maternal side then, that was on my paternal side. On my maternal side, you know, there's involvement on the other side as well, you know. So so we've a lot of Cork history in the family, like really steeped in it. Yeah. I also have an ancestor, Sam Hobbs, who was the, I think he was the city engineer, and you'll see him there. He designed and built, as far as I know, Clark's Bridge, going over, you know, going over the Lee there, you know, as you come up towards the courthouse, way back in the 1700s.
Yeah.
And then we had a Hobbs Lane as well.
Right, yeah. I heard of that.
Where St. Mary's of the Isles School is now.
Yeah.
That was Hobbs Lane, and that went into a salt and lime kiln. They would have supplied some of the material into the building of St. Finbarr's Cathedral in the 1860s. And the son then went on to become the he became the waymaster for the Cork butter market until the day he retired. He died around 80, he died well into his 80s anyway, in the early 1920s.
God, there's longevity in the idea, is there?
Well, I don't know about that.
Hey, is it here, right? You grew up in Cork. You grew up in Cork.
Character you want to follow.
What? You grew up in Cork, right? You're educated in Cork. What was it like for you growing up in Cork in your time?
Very enjoyable. Yeah. A lot of good pals. Cork was a young city. No, obviously, I was leaving school in the late 70s, so Cork was about to go through a devastating impact in the early 80s when Ford and Dunlop's closed, unemployment hit 18, 19, 20% in parts of the city. We were having trouble filling football teams, hurling teams, rugby teams, soccer teams. There was a shortage of young men. Everybody was gone on a plane, gone on a boat. It was really a devastating time, I thought, in the early 80s in Cork, but out of it then. Out of all that adversary came punk and, you know, heavy metal and all that kind of stuff. So there was a real bit of a cultural revolution going on as well. And Cork was very much part of that. I mean, there was no coincidence that U2's grounding really was in the Arcadia in Cork. That was their, that was like their HQ.
There was a big scene
in those days. Rory Gallagher, of course, was strutting his stuff, and like he was the best. I mean, people don't realise this now, but this guy was the best electric guitar player probably whoever played a guitar, and he was just tremendous, like life. And so I have very fond memories of growing up in Cork. Some not so good memories, but as we all do. But like nothing scarring or anything like that, you know. Yeah. And so a very, very fond of Cork. As they say, Cork people are homesick even when they're at home. So there's always a sense of wanting to come home, which is amazing. And even when you're here, you want to stay, you know. So that's just the way it is. That's the draw. But it's not just the city, you see. I think it's the whole county. You know, people forget that West Cork has its own draw going as well, too, especially West Cork and East Cork. And North Cork I'm not that familiar with. You know, not being a native of that area, but like they all have their own little subcultures going that are all tremendously different. And
they have their unique little kind of traits, haven't they?
Pardon?
They have their unique little traits, all different parts of County Cork. You notice in West Cork, you notice in East Cork, there's a big difference in them, in their approach to things and things like that. That's what I found. I'm just saying there's a difference actually, I noticed, between the people of East Cork and West Cork. Did you ever notice that in their mannerisms and everything?
Yeah, it's very significantly different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, East Cork would have been very much an agricultural strong point, different area, economic area to West Cork. West Cork was, you know, was harder going, I think, you know, because of the landscape and because of the quality of the land, perhaps. But very, very different thing going on, going way back, as you know, to the Kingdom of Desmond, which people forget was one of the last outposts of the Irish of the Gaelic Irish after the Norman invasion. Of course, they beat back the Normans, but one of the major turning events of the Norman campaign was their loss in the Battle of Callan near Ballydesmond, down in Healy Ray country, when the cream of the Fitzgeralds, the Norman royalty, were wiped out by the Irish at the Battle of Callan, 1261, I think. So like the kingdom. So the Kingdom of Cork and Kerry goes way back in time, and I think it has its own thing going. Probably has a lot to do with trading as well to Spain, yeah, and Portugal and North America through those sea routes back in the day.
I tell you this, was like, come on here, and I got a history lesson of all things, and Hobbes, right? Great thing. Eddie, just through your life, you've met people, right? You've read, there's been lines, stories, whatever the case may be, even quotations from songs, Eddie. And to be honest, what was it that really influenced you or had influenced your path in life?
God, that's a good question nobody's ever asked me before. It's hard to know. I do know from later in life, because old school pals that I've met 30 years later would remind me that when somebody was being bullied in the schoolyard, I was usually the person going over, sorting out the bully or trying to stop it anyway in some way, you know. So I was always a bit of a scrapper, even though I was quite small. And I was about a year and a half younger than most lads in my class. So I think that was kind of forming. So I kind of went on then after that, and I was always involved in, I all my career, like, I've been involved in a lot of voluntary work, pro bono work, in other words, taking on financial institutions on behalf of vulnerable people in the background. Mm-hmm. A lot of that is, you know, and hence all the campaigning and all that kind of stuff. Now, I've had my own ups and downs along the way, but I mean, that has never left me. Mm-hmm. To step in to protect the underdog,
yeah,
from the big dog. Don't ask me where that comes from, but that's just my nature.
I think it's a Cork rebel thing, to be honest about it. Let's be honest about it. The rebel outside in you, you know what I mean? But outside of that, Eddie, right, when you think about it, like, no, I'm going back to years ago, and people were saying, there's a face from the past coming on now. I always remember you had that program, The Rip Off Republic, and you got this kind of campaign going to send, was it a diaper to the Minister Snappy for Health. What?
Yeah, what happened there was that when I was writing or co-writing the Rip-Off Republic, and then, you know, just before presenting it, we did it four nights in a row on the Helix in Dublin. And of course, the audience just kept growing and growing, and it nearly hit 1 million in the last episode. Mm-hmm. And it caught, caught the government completely by surprise, which was great fun. RT, of course, some parts of RT never forgave me for it, because we kind of sneaked out really what was essentially a current affairs polemic, you know, as a kind of a comedy programme, but it was far from comedy. It was quite satirical. But anyway, in the first programme, just before we were, just as we were about to go on air, a ruling came through where the Director of Consumer Affairs, Carmel Foley at the time, had to take a case against Dunn Stores under the sales, under the groceries order for selling nappies below the invoice cost. So like nappies were listed as food basically that needed to be protected under this arcane act, which is really just completely anti-competitive anyway. So I just highlighted the ridiculous, I could see the ridiculous capacity to really play this up. So I used nappies at the end of the first episode of Rip Off Republic to show just how much the food market was kind of rigged, you know, where the forces of competition were being deliberately subdued because of pressure groups like from RG Data, which represented the retailers, you know, and people got it straight away. So I said, listen, whoever sends the biggest post bag to the grocer's order, which was a 1987 order, was coming up for review later in 2005, but as a stroke of luck. So I asked the viewers if they wouldn't mind sending a nappy to the following address, and up went Micheál Martins, Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment, at his address in Kildare Street. I think it was Kildare Street. And they started to get thousands of nappies up from all over the country being posted, and everybody thought it was funny until somebody opened one of them and it was a soiled nappy, and then it wasn't so funny anymore. But anyway,
who was the minister at that time when that happened?
That was Minister Micheál Martin, Cork Minister.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was Micheál Martin, that's right.
So he went on, in fairness to the man, he went on and he repealed the groceries order.
Yeah.
In 2000, like against, that was a very substantial, very powerful lobby group in favour of continuing it on. I mean, all like Musgraves, who were basically financing RG Data, were very much behind keeping it going, you know. And there was a lot of property values involved as well, because a lot of the shop owners didn't want Lidl and Aldi moving into their area. And of course, Lidl and Aldi were bringing far better value to low-income consumers, as we now know, yeah, with good quality goods. And yeah, and they added to the mix eventually. And, you know, all the doomsday talk about all the mom-and-pop shops would close and the world would never be the same again. Sure, none of that happened. They were just taken over by, you know, by different franchises or one or another. Prices of food came down as a consequence of the groceries order. They would have been higher if it hadn't been for its repeal. Yeah. So we kind of hit all of the vested interests, the hospital consultants, the dentists, the vets, barristers, and of course the publicans, yeah, who campaigned against cafe bars. So we had great fun there, because we were about to go live on Monday for our first session. We did four days in a row. And on the Saturday, I managed to locate what was the publicans were saying, that you can't have more pub licenses given out, even if it's for cafe wine bars, because of the amount of alcoholism in the country. So I found out through a contact in the Veterinary Federation which town in Ireland had the most pubs. So I took a camera crew down to Athy, lovely sunny Saturday morning. And I did on the basis that there's so many pubs in Athy, then everybody on a Saturday morning should be langers, should be either coming out of being langers, or are on their way to getting langers. So we did drunk tests in the car park in Athy with great fun. Of course, everybody was quite sober. And then we got a brilliant moment on camera when a nun from the local rehab center, Coonvirra, she was just magnificent, you know, typical old nun, highly intellectual, deeply passionate, just looked into the camera and said, alcoholism in Ireland has nothing to do with the number of pubs. She said, we use alcohol as an anesthetic for our feelings. And that was the end of that.
Great line.
It was perfect.
A great line. It was an anesthetic.
Yeah, and that was a perfect end to that little piece of Rip Off Republic, you know. Thanks to the nun.
Thanks to the nun. All right, yeah. But now going away from that, Eddie, right, and the people who influenced Eddie, and you know, I see the program Rip Off Republic and how well, like, it did do. There were so many things highlighted; it was unbelievable, right? Now I know. So what I'm going to say to Eddie is this: that no, actually. It's an amazing question I ask a lot of people. I know the show is called All That Matters, but a day will come in your life and in my life when we're going to pass on to the other side. Now, we'd like to meet our nearest and dearest, our loved ones, but is there anybody, when you get inside the turnstile or the gates or the door or whatever you want to call it, right? If we get past the bouncer, Peter, right, who would you make a beeline to?
You mean to want to meet somebody? Well, members of my own family, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. No, outside the nearest and dearest, is there anyone in particular you'd make a beeline for?
Yeah, but I lost a very, very close friend of mine when we were young. John O'Kelly's his name. He died at 36 from meningitis, absolutely out of the blue. And there isn't a day that goes by that I don't miss him. Mm-hmm. He was a very close friend.
Yeah. What about the famous world? We say, be it sports stars or rock stars or musicians, whatever the case may be. Is there any famous people gone before you that you'd like to meet?
Well, actually, I have quite a deep interest in history. And if there was a character in history I'd like to meet, it's not none of the rock stars of history. I'd like to meet Patrick Ronan Cleburne. Now, Cleburne's a very interesting character. He grew up in Ballincollig. He was the son of a GP in Ballincollig. And he emigrated in the 1850s to the United States, having failed to get into medical school in Trinity. It was a Protestant background. And he ended up, I think, in Alabama. And he became the leading non-native officer in the Confederate forces during the American Civil War. He was killed at the Battle of Franklin in 1864, and he was undefeated, really, his division, wherever he was, wherever Cleburne's division were, the line held. He died at 36, and I'd love to know what his motives were, what kept him going through all of that, because. He did an extraordinary thing in 1863, 1864. He wrote a petition within the Confederate Army arguing for this freeing of the slaves in order to fight for the South. And he was absolutely castigated for doing it on the basis that if the black man, as they called them at the time, could become a proper soldier and fight for the Confederacy, then the whole basis of the war would be broken, which was the idea that the white man was a superior species to the black man. So obviously there was some of a rebel heart in him, and he could see that it was wrong, you know.
Well, Eddie, what I'm going to say to you is thank you very much for coming on, right? To be honest about it, I got an insight into the man I watched on the television, the rebel who stood out against the Rip Off Republic. And I'll be honest about it, you're a man that actually has a great belief, a great love of history, shall I say. And at that, Eddie, I'd like to say to you, good night, God bless, take care.
Your beauty is our duty at Susan Ryan Beauty Salon Clinic, 85 South Main Street, Cork City. Sponsors of this episode, of All That Matters.